Oh, well, hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 71, Episode 2 of the Daily Zeitgeist, the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and sometimes subconsciousness. I'm your host, yes, your host, Mr. Miles Gray, a.k.a. Just like the gray wing dove, Miles sings a song, sound like he's singing, say whoo. Hey, who's losing his hair? And yes, thank you to Travis Stockstill at Travis S. Butcher, the American Butcher himself. If you're looking for tasty cuts of meat, I suggest you follow at American Butcher on Instagram. That is where the homie's holding it down. And I am pleased to be joined by my co-host, as always, my co-host, Miss Jamie Loftus.
A.K.A. Oh, fuck.
Here we
Somebody
go.
Once told me the world is a Zamboni. I am the brightest star in the Zeitgeist. I was looking pretty sweet on my page on Wikifeed, and the skeps that I come, they're all dry, man. Well, okay.
Skeps that I come, they're all dry, man. Team dry skeps.
Oh, team dry skeps for life.
That's fuck what Caitlin says. It's all it's dry skeps all day.
She's wrong, man. She's just lost. A contrarian. She's lost in the woods. That was from Steve.
Oh, Steve.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Well, Jamie, you know, now that we're doing the Daily Zeitgeist, this is becoming a regular thing. Yeah. We always like to have guests with us.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited about today's
guest. And today's guest is, you know, I don't know too much about, but when Anna said we booked this guy, I was like, all right, let's give it a go.
Yeah.
Please welcome Jack O'Brien. Welcome.
Funky little Jack. Funky little Jack. That's right, I'm back, motherfuckers.
All right. Fucking little Jack. And he's back.
And I'm back. Shout out to...
blood pressure just spiked.
Shout out to Amy Miller. Zeitgeist Amy Miller, who was on the show Punch Up the Jam, where they did Love Shack. And that's her favorite song of all time.
I love that song.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
It is a good song.
Jack. Also, oh yeah, I was on Amy Miller's podcast. So y'all, go check out Who's Your God.
That's so good.
I was on there last week. You can go see that or listen to that. You hear me talk about my beliefs, systems, and how I stay so fly.
Mm-hmm.
How is that mostly what it's about?
Yeah, it's just about, you know, like, you know, looking into the mirror, and if you don't like something, do whatever you can to change it. That's sort of my life philosophy, by any means necessary.
Like mainly focusing
by force.
Yes. Yeah. Brute force.
Right.
Brute force makeovers with Miles.
And mostly focusing on like the eyebrows and
the
like,
eyebrows, the erectile dysfunction.
Gotta get those eyebrows.
Receding hairline. All of that. Yeah.
Well, I'm back from the woods.
How was
that?
Did you learn anything?
Dark.
Yeah.
You know the woods episode of Atlanta?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is like a child's film compared to what I just lived through.
Okay, well, we don't have to tell everybody about what happened.
Yeah, no, we won't. Well, Amy, fuck, Jamie.
Oh, my God.
I am very rusty.
Shade.
Oh, my God.
The shade.
Amy.
Yeah, that felt like a direct attack.
Yeah. Whatever. Amy, is it?
All right, Amy Lundgren.
Amy Loop, we got you.
What is something from your search history that's revealing about it?
Wait, are you not going to tell people what we're going to talk about today?
Nah, man, fuck all that.
Wow. I like this dude.
This is all gone off.
Yeah.
He still has the fucking blood on his face from that deer he had to kill with his bare hands.
Funky little Jack is...
It's a new Jack.
It's a new Jack. He's got a new Jacktitude.
He's changed.
All right, let's talk about it. We're going to do a Benghazi update.
Benghazi.
We're going to talk about them Oscars that happened a couple nights ago. Jamie is panting in anticipation. We're going to talk about the president's relationship with Kim Jong-un. We're going to talk about Donald Trump Jr., the president's son. I don't know if you heard about this guy.
Great chin.
Yeah.
You said, by the way, that my impression of Rami Malek's...
Makes you kind of look like Don Jr.
Makes me look like Don Jr., which made me very self-conscious, and it's all I can think about.
Yeah.
That is why I got your name wrong, as I was thinking about that.
You just said the whole time.
We're going to talk about what it's like... This is a job that I always knew had to exist, and was wondering how it was like psychologically and physically possible that somebody was somewhere moderating Facebook.
Oh, God.
Just of Facebook and just trying to clear all the garbage from the slipstream of the American Facebook and the global Facebook. And
you're
that job
consciousness, huh?
Is a nightmare. So we're going to talk about why. And if we have time, we might talk about Mufasa's death.
Mm.
But first, Jamie, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, you know, I'm back on Lamictal, so you know I'm search historying math class for adults for fun. And
wait, you said you're back on the what?
I'm back on Lamictal, which means that my search history is going to be wild.
What's Lamictal?
Lamictal's bipolar medication.
Oh, okay.
And as you get back on, you're like, oh, I'm having strange feelings I haven't thought in a while. For example, I really want to take a math class, but I want to feel good. I don't want to feel stupid.
Right. You don't want to be in there with like a bunch of genius 13-year-olds.
Right. I was like, math class for adults for fun. As far as I know, in the LA area, there's no math classes for adults fun? For fun.
I'm sure there's like a meetup group, right? I feel like meetup.com has some for like, you know,
math meetup. Who's going to show up
let's
there?
Let's brush
though?
Up on our trig skills.
I'm afraid it'll be fucking, you know, Mensons and they're going to fucking eat.
I know.
Really, the people you could be following back on are your Mensons.
I know.
Oh, your
but
Mensons.
I was canceled by Mensa. Oh, so, but I want to take math class for adults for fun.
Mm-hmm.
I miss 1 week. I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about.
She's
right
going
now.
To the Mensa
okay,
annual gathering of the Juggalos
right.
in Arizona
yeah.
for the official Mensa weekend.
Yeah, wow. But they canceled me on their Facebook group.
I do remember that.
Oops.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, I'm just to get in the math thing, because I like math.
Yes, I like.
What is there a specific kind of math? Is like something you miss? You want to do like, you know,
no,
square
I was,
roots?
I didn't like math, but in retrospect, I feel like I just wasn't good at math.
Oh, right.
And then was like an asshole overachiever teenager. I was like, fuck math then. I don't need math.
Oh, wow. So what did you supplement math with?
I don't know, like being rude to people.
Yeah. And doing
and
sick
IMing.
Drawings on the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And using Microsoft Paint a lot. So I was like, you know what? I didn't give math a fair shake. I got to go back to math.
Yeah.
And I've been having math dreams. I've had multiple dreams where I'm taking a math class and I feel great.
Oh, wow.
So
well,
I
just
think
go
I
to
gotta,
take a JUCO class, community college class.
Was, yeah. I was
Senior
I was
college.
Looking at that. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I might have to wait till next semester.
Or,
I might have to wait till summer session.
If there's LA Zeitgang, if you're a math professional, math tutor, math
you
teacher.
Hook me up with a math class.
I'll do a class with you.
Yeah. You should come take
we
math.
Should have,
that would
yo,
be a
that'd
fun
be so
friend
funny.
Activity. Of like, oh, man, Miles and I were in math last night.
So you're not hoping to really like get anything practical out of it. It's just more of like a.
I just want to make
your brain craves it.
Yeah, I think if I applied myself, I could be better at math.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't know until I take a math class
that, like,
for fun.
Is that something that like that you run up against on a daily basis? You're like,
no, I'm good at addition and subtraction.
Right.
Oh, great. Solid.
So
the
so
building blocks of math.
That's my main math activities I do now is adding and subtracting.
Those are good math
but
activities
I want
to
get back into, you know, long division.
Ooh.
I want to get back to
some remainders.
Maybe some axes.
Oh.
Right.
And even some shapes because geometry was really where I fell off in high school of like, fuck math.
Oh, geometric right. proofs?
Mrs.
Hated them.
Mrs. Foley did me dirty. I got my first C in geometry, and then I was like, I'm done. Math is done. Math is over.
My geometry teacher had like an American Psycho vibe. He had like the wildest tan, like intense tan.
Like a leathery tan?
Yeah, almost.
Yeah, those
and
are
he
freaky.
Had straight, slick back hair.
Jackson
like,
Maine?
Like Patrick Bateman style. No, not like I passed out in the desert. Like he was hitting the bed. He was hitting the bed.
Okay,
and then had like straight slick back hair, and his teeth had a film on it that could only be described
that's
as
a math teacher
chronic.
Thing. My Algebra 2 teacher, he was obsessed with corn. He was
the band?
No.
Oh, fuck
the fact that it's in a lot of our food. And
oh, yeah.
So
okay.
he would have like
that guy.
Thursday, he would pass out. He'd be like, it's Cornspiracy Thursday. And he'd pass out handouts about how corn's going to fuck us all up. And he'd point at our snacks and be like, what's the number one ingredient? And then he'd be like, I don't got to check. It's corn.
Wow.
So I had some bad math experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like it scared you off. Because my experience with math is that I have been more like amazed at how little I use any of my math education. Like in retrospect, it's just addition and subtraction for me. But that's just me.
That's
I'm not as ambitious.
Oh, I'm constantly finding myself having to draw out bell curves in three dimensions.
You do that a lot.
Yeah, I do.
Maybe
yeah.
that's why I lean on you for my bell curves,
yep.
and therefore I don't need
exactly.
to.
I
wouldn't
be able to be that friend for you.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated is, of course, Brody Stevens.
Yeah.
Gotta shout him out. If you are not familiar with his work, he passed away last Friday, and Comedy Central has released a lot of his work, and they brought it out behind the Viacom paywall, so you can watch his half hour online. You can watch most of his series, Enjoy It, online, and then he's got a special on Amazon Prime. If you've never heard of him, he is everyone's favorite comedian, and he'll be very missed.
Yeah.
So, underrated.
What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, starting an Instagram for your dog.
All right.
But
what?
But I did that yesterday.
Right.
But I'm enjoying it too. You were saying, Miles, that I've become the person I said I wouldn't be,
yeah,
like literally 2 months ago. And it's true. And I don't like myself for it.
Oh, but don't do that.
I'm having the time of my life on this.
It's just
dog
like you didn't
Instagram.
Know. You know what I mean? You're like the natives before Christianity was brought to them. They didn't know they wanted it.
Right.
Until they showed up.
That's a great analogy. That's exactly
that tracks, right?
Perfect analogy.
That reminds me of
someone
didn't, takes
someone
I heard
need
in my
to hand
classes.
Me the smallpox blanket of a pet Instagram account.
Right.
And it's, I don't know. I've been having fun with it, but it's causing friction in my relationship because the dog got more followers than my boyfriend in the first day.
Wow.
So he was just like, hey, what the fuck, man?
Dude, he's having dog IG account envy?
Yeah, he was really, because at first he was like, yeah, sure, start the dog an Instagram account. And then I was hyping it a little bit. And then he was just like, this dog's doing fucking laps around me.
I can start seeing him like as the numbers go up, like, all right, maybe we can cool it on the...
Right.
Damn, I woke up
this morning and he was on his phone already and he was like getting pretty close to being tied. And then like an
how
hour
many
later.
Account,
was,
how many followers does your dog have?
My dog, it's just over 300.
Wow.
But he was, you know, people like alt-right content and that's why people are going to my dog's page.
Oh, is that what's on there?
Your dog has an alt-right personality?
My dog is.
It's all peppy memes?
No, I mean, he's not that bad, but he's got bad takes. He posted his Oscar takes, and they were not good. But he won the pot at the party Caitlin and I went to, because he was just like Green Book everything, Bohemian Rhapsody
everything. Right.
Like he was on it. So, yeah, he's got some bad takes. But if you want Brexit to happen, you should probably check out his account because he wants Brexit to happen.
Oh, great!
So it is one of the ones where the dog has a editorial voice.
Yeah,
Oh, okay. Then I'm actually gonna follow then.
It's all pictures of him shitting and being like men's rights.
Right.
And then,
taking his shit, it's like look at the Hillary I just
took.
Well,
that's amazing.
Yeah, he's troubling.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like an amazing follow, and like he is going to have the gap between his number of followers and everyone else's is going to continue to grow.
At Bad Dog Sunny, check him out.
Bad Dog Sunny. Is that O N N Y or U N N Y?
U N N Y. Yeah.
And what is a myth?
Myth is that South Park is still good. I don't understand that. I like, there's this whole, my therapist has this thing where he doesn't.
Where he makes me watch South Park.
Where we watch South Park together and we're best friends. But he has this thing where, like, anytime, because he doesn't know, like, he knows I'm a comedian, but he never knows how to level with me.
Uh-huh.
So he always is like, you know, so like, this thing you could do is kind of South Park and good. And this thing you could do is kind of Family Guy, so like not as good. And that's how he levels with me.
Wait, what was the last one?
Family Guy.
Oh, Family Guy.
So when things are good and bad to him, he's like, oh, let me put it in terms you'd understand.
Those are the binary options.
South Park, Family Guy. I've been with him for 3 years, and it comes up every single appointment. And then I was like, I haven't watched either in a long time.
Right.
And I went back to South Park. I was like, I get fucking roasted for it. I still don't fucking like it. And also Matt Parker and Trace don't, or whatever the reverse is, they're fucking like libertarian capitalists. They're Republicans. I'm like, damn.
Did you ever like South Park?
I liked it in high school. But
but
I feel like it's still like this mainstream, like people stand for it so hard. They're like, no, it's actually good. And like, it's been, and I don't know.
I think there's a lot of people who are just, still fans, so they'll watch. It's like habitual, right, to always watch South Park. I haven't honestly have not seen an entire season, maybe since season 4.
There's no need. Their takes are boring, or like boring at best, bad. And wrong at worst, and I don't like it. I'm also part of the Seth MacFarlane Defense Force.
Yeah, so oh, right. Full disclosure.
Yeah, does he know about that?
Does he, Seth MacFarlane?
No, you're a therapist. Like, oh, it's yeah. so weird that he uses Family Guy.
Yeah, doesn't he go through your dreams where he's like abusing you?
No,
what was the thing? He pushes you
Seth
down
MacFarlane
the stairs.
Pushed me down the stairs, and then we hook up.
Don't you have like a broken leg? Or something?
Yeah, I have a broken leg, and then he brings me to his room and snaps my leg back in place. So I'm gonna go. Right. You know, I didn't tell my therapist about my Seth MacFarlane dreams because I don't have time. I can't afford that many appointments.
Right, to just go to go in and do that.
A lot of very funny people think Family Guy is great and still ride for it.
Yeah.
Carl
yeah,
Tart thinks you know it's what? The funniest show ever.
Again.
Really?
Yeah.
Again, if it's for you,
can always be
it's
counted
for
on.
You. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Not to say that if we disagree,
I'm not even necessarily
not great
a
for
fan.
You. Yeah, you know, but just do what you got to do.
I just watched The Orville.
There you go.
But you remember when that chicken fight like kept happening?
Like,
that
yeah.
was
it was like almost a whole
episode.
It was
like, episode.
It was like wait, can they do that?
What about like, I like when they cut to Conrad Twitty. And
oh
that's,
yeah,
right.
Conway Twitty.
Whatever.
Conrad
Hilton. I haven't seen either of these shows in 900 years, but I was just sick of that. Oh my god.
Your flashlight on your cell phone has just been on constantly this whole time. I was like,
really?
Is this a bit?
Yeah,
I didn't know.
That's really stressful for you. I'm sorry.
No, it was fine. I was just like, hey, do what you got to do.
But yeah, I'm just sick of my therapist
giving you those two options.
The whole, yeah, he's like, you know, these are, whatever.
Bring him some box sets of comedy you do like. Maybe that'll help.
Yeah.
I've recommended Maria Bamford to my therapist so many times, and he never follows through.
No.
Ever. He's
yeah.
too busy
call
being
him Mark,
a doctor
call
who's
him
good
Mark,
at his job.
Call her Mark Bamford and see if then he watches.
Yeah, and then he'll be like, okay, so it's, you know, South Park and Mark Bamford.
Whoa, go on.
Or, yeah.
Oh man. I think it's also a myth that you should use whatever somebody's interested in, like what they do for a living, as like your way of interacting with them
right.
because you are like not up to their level. Like it's not
right.
like, okay, so you're a doctor. Let me put it this way. So like this is like strep throat.
Right.
And, like,
right
it's
right.
like that's not gonna like they understand things like 20 times more complex than you. But like
that, right.
I do love when he does it though, because he'll just be like, so what? You're going to open mics, right? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, so what? You go
is
up,
it
you
more
talk
Family
about...
Guy or is it more South Park? Like,
he's got, yeah. So is your vibe more Family Guy or South Park? Like the two
the
brands
two...
of comedy.
Right,
that
right.
Exist.
When you're up there, are you more like Chris Griffin or are you more like Kenny where you're like,
there, yeah. I was
know,
like,
I
well,
know.
You know, I started out kind of Kenny, but I was like, you know, I don't need to be edgy like that. And then I went full Chris Griffin.
I'm full Meg.
I'm
the Meg.
I am the Meg.
All right, guys, let's talk. It's time we check in with Benghazi.
Yeah, yesterday we had a little update, but I think there's more things happening now because R. Kelly finally, I think, looks like we'll see the court for his acts. He just pleaded guilty, or not guilty, rather, to 10 counts of aggravated sexual assault, and I think this was regarding 4 victims. 3 of those accusers would have been underage at the time of these crimes. Hopefully this man will, you know, actually, you know, see justice.
Good yeah. Lord. Yeah, it took long enough.
And having like a compound where you keep a bunch of different women like
yeah.
that gets expensive, I hear. So, yeah,
the overhead is tough.
Yeah. Gold shoes were also a bad move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one needed them.
Fuck that.
Although
guy.
I did like Spike Lee's gold Jordans from.
Well,
Oscars
those are Tinker, yeah, those are Tinker 3s, yes, custom made for him.
Wow, really?
And then he went on that racist attack against the president. My
the
goodness.
Fuck.
Oh, that was
well,
very fucked
hey,
up.
Hey, speaking
yeah.
of the president, so he
you know, we're just rolling.
Forcibly mouth-kissed a campaign staffer during the 2016 election, according to her. And yeah, I think his presidency is over.
It's
with,
over,
right?
Got
yeah.
him.
Mm-hmm. Done.
This is it. You're out of here.
Done. Yeah. We got him.
Got him.
He's canceled.
And yeah, when these mics go off, we'll just sob uncontrollably because this will not do anything. But yeah, this woman, her name is Alva Johnson. And in her lawsuit, yeah, she alleges that Trump grabbed her hand and leaned in to kiss her on the lips as he got out of an RV before a rally in Tampa, Florida. In August of 2016.
This is the worst word jumble
ever. And like
ever.
She tried to turn away and then the unwanted kiss landed on the side of her mouth.
Doesn't sound like him.
Yeah, so again, everyone has come out to defend him. Sarah Sanders is like, oh, that is so not like the president. It's absurd on its face. Then like Pam Bondi, who was there, was like, I'm a prosecutor. I think I would know if something bad happened. I would have said something. It's like,
right.
Meanwhile, I think many people in Florida disagree about your work as a prosecutor. Anyway,
yeah.
So
the president's a full-on molester and nothing will happen.
Yeah, it's absurd that, again, you have an entire party that he has in his control that are just not willing to hold really anyone's feet to the fire over any kind of unwanted sexual advances,
right.
Unless they're a Democrat.
Yeah.
I feel for those poor women. This is just...
I know.
Because, yeah, you come out with something, you're like, the fucking president now tried to kiss me on my mouth. I did not want it. Other people with even all kinds of allegations, and yet again...
He's her boss. He's campaigning to be the fucking president.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've had this conversation 900 times too,
because
it's just like the stories like this come out all the time, and I believe each and every one.
Yeah, and in his own words, this is something he does, according to the Access Hollywood tape, and it really just seems to me like at this point, why are they even denying it? Why aren't they just like, nobody cares? Like, go fuck yourself. Nobody cares. He can do anything he wants.
I mean, she is a woman of color, and she was also saying that, you know, there was also all kinds of racial discrimination happening on the campaign. No, really? That's so surprising that the Trump campaign would treat a woman of color unfairly, saying that she was being paid less than her white male counterparts. So, you know, it was a microcosm of the just society at large.
But she got those sweet benefits of him trying to kiss her on the mouth.
Yeah, I guess
so. So that was cool.
Yeah, and I think what happened was after the Access Hollywood tape came out, I think that was sort of around the time she began leaving. Because she was like, oh, Jesus, like this is just,
this isn't
there's
a one-time
no,
thing.
Yeah, there's no anything.
His MO.
Yep.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. And the Oscars were on Sunday night.
Yay!
Ratings were apparently up.
Yay!
So
Olivia Colman made me cry.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I thought that was an amazing acceptance speech.
It was so love. The fact that you can close a speech by just being like, Lady Gaga, and then leave
just
the stage.
Walk off.
Yeah, I got emotional watching that.
The hostlessness of it was... I don't know. I thought it made it better.
It's a double-edged sword,
fine,
I think.
Yeah.
I think on one hand, right, I do miss the fucking all-out extraness of the Oscars.
I miss We Saw Your Boobs. That's what I'm looking for, the We Saw Your Boobs realness from... I don't mean that.
I mean, no, but I think, you know, like there was a lot of fanfare about it, but I think as that they slowly started fucking up year after year of not making it a good show...
Yeah.
Part of me was like, this was way better comparatively because you just get through, you're handing out the awards. But part of me kind of misses the showmanship of it all.
Right.
At the same time, I wasn't like, oh, this sucked. I was like, this is better than it's been for a while.
It was fine. I mean, it cruised. It was, I don't know. I do like a big, like, opening number, even if, and kind of especially if it's fucking horrible.
Yeah,
like,
right,
it's
right.
Kind of fun to watch something
people die up there.
Burn on, on
right.
such a magnificent scale. I think it's exciting to watch. But also, it's like, who gives a shit? I don't know. I didn't like how... during the lead up to the Oscars, how everyone was just like, well, no one wants to host it because of cancel culture. It's like, no, no one wants to host it because it's a shitty job.
Yeah, right.
And everyone who has ever hosted said it was torture and bad.
Right.
So,
and Bruce Valanche is writing all the material.
Right.
Still.
Right.
So like, you're like, man, I'm not going up there with this fucking material.
I liked, you know, Awkwafina, John Mulaney made me laugh.
Yeah.
They were fun presenters. It was fine.
Yeah. Like, and if you didn't like a portion, it was over in a couple minutes, and they were on to a new, like, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Maya Rudolph were great, I enjoyed them, Melissa McCarthy and Brian Tyree Henry were great.
Fun, yeah.
And Mulaney. My concern was that the last I heard, they were trying to do something with the Avengers.
Right.
That they were going to, like,
ew.
Lean on the Avengers talent. And so whoever produced the show apparently had the foresight to not do that.
That would have been very obnoxious.
Yeah. It's weird that a thing that in the buildup, we were like, please be a disaster. Please be
a
disaster.
But that's also kind of the
thing.
That's
what you deserve. And then it was like, they did it. They it ended up actually being the best thing for the Oscars.
It was just fun.
Keep it moving.
Yeah.
And they opened with a Queen musical number, but next year, if they do another hostless one, they can, you know, just have Billy Crystal do a musical number or whoever the fuck does the musical number and then get him off the stage.
You don't have to wait for worst use of Dana Carvey in years.
Oh, man.
God.
Wayne's World shit.
Poor Dana. I'll stand for Dana till I the Master of Disguise. I mean, come on. Yes. It's a great movie. But man, what a poor use of Dan Carvey and Mike Myers. Also, Mike Myers' Botox is out of control. He looks like
a Mike Myers mask.
He looks like a wax figure of himself.
Right.
Oh God. I love watching people's Botox settle weird though. Like every time I watch The Masked Singer, if you cut to Robin Thicke when he's not ready,
right.
His face is backwards. it's like
inverted.
It's like, oh my God.
Oh wait, sorry.
He's like
Face hook. Give me my face hook.
He's frantically rearranging his facial features. Oh, I love bad Botox.
But a lot of people, Angela Bassett is apparently ageless. I believe in Satan now.
Right.
One of my
whoever she made that deal with, fuck.
One of my takeaways was that either plastic surgery or deals with Satan. Black magic has gotten more advanced because there were a lot of people who looked like they just weren't aging at all. They looked amazing.
Shout out to Paul Rudd too.
Yeah, Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd has an arrangement
with Satan. Yeah.
Paul Rudd, Julia Roberts looked exactly like she always has. Bette Midler looked really good, I thought.
Bette Midler's titties were out. Loved it.
Oh, right. love a good bet.
10 out of 10 Bette Midler titty shots.
The only thing, I mean, you know, glad that the awards, the recipients were a little more diverse this year.
Yeah.
Thank you to that. But I was so passive watching. And the only thing I really paid attention to was when Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper did Shallow.
Those
spray tans, they were both rocking.
I loved it.
I was feeling those spray tans.
It was intense, yeah.
And they just walked right up out of the audience.
That felt right.
Yeah.
It felt like the movie almost.
Yeah.
You know?
It was impressive. And then they blew it all by giving the Best Picture award to Green Book.
I think it was a Jezebel headline where it's like, can't believe the guy who wrote Shallow Hal has an Oscar.
Right.
Like, it's so,
it was funny, right after the awards, I was scrolling around, Dumb and Dumber was playing on TBS or something. So you can't escape the Farrelly brothers or them pulling their dicks out on set.
Just seeing this tidal wave of white guys going up to accept
Green
the
Book
award. Yeah. You're like, holy shit. This is rough.
Yeah. And then the one guy was like, but it wouldn't be possible without Viggo. I mean, Mahershala too.
Right.
But Viggo. He was also the savior of this production.
Right.
Therefore, Viggo's an interesting guy though.
Shout out
to him, I think.
All the Spike moments were great. Spike won.
Spike protested the Green Book victory by turning his back.
And then he tried to leave, and I guess they were like, you gotta just stay. And he's like, oh. I was like, man, someone told him what to do? That's crazy. But it
makes sense because the year Do the Right Thing came out, Driving Miss Daisy won for its depiction of a mean old racist woman being horrible to someone who relies on her for his livelihood and is therefore forced to take it. But then they become friends in the end. And that, if you look back, if you want to give your movie a extra chance of winning an Academy Award, it's either the main message of the movie, if you make it, that movies really matter and they're changing the world, that gives it a 40% boost. And if you make it, you know, racism is real, but we can overcome it with our...
With hugs.
And with personal friendships.
Yeah.
Those two messages just automatically boost your chances of
winning
an Academy Award.
Also, what's so funny too is that one of the writers, the son of the guy who Viggo Mortensen's character is, he was remember he got in trouble for liking or retweeting some Donald Trump shit about how Donald Trump, it was a tweeter about how
I didn't know this.
Trump's claim about seeing Muslims cheer from New Jersey on 9/11.
Right.
He retweeted that or liked a tweet around that and then tried to delete all his shit and people were like, oh my goodness.
No.
He's the real life Green Book.
I wanted to shout out to Frances McDormand's Birkenstocks.
Oh, great.
Was she wearing Birkenstocks?
She was wearing custom canary yellow Birkenstocks.
Custom stocks, dude?
Yeah. I was like, that is the kind of flex I can get behind.
Yeah.
That's a comfortable flex.
I finally watched Roma, which I'm assuming a lot of Academy members didn't, since it's an incredible movie. But
I watched
way,
it last
way better
week, finally.
Than, yeah.
I mean, it's people don't like reading.
No, yeah. I do wonder what percentage of the Academy actually watched Roma.
It was so good. I want to see it in theaters now because I just watched it on my dumbass computer.
It may get another run out in theaters.
It's
real
at
quick.
The Vista, baby.
Oh, is it still there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's cue the conspiracy theory music.
Uh-oh.
A couple conspiracy theories. So I thought it was odd that Barbara Streisand was introducing Black Klansmen. Like that was the match. And then they had Serena Williams introducing A Star Is Born, which seemed sort of random. So yeah. my theory is that Barbara Streisand was hired to present A Star Is Born, but didn't want to present the movie because fuck Lady Gaga, the world isn't big enough for the both of them. And so she forced the Academy to switch her with Serena Williams. And that's my theory. Because otherwise, that didn't make any fucking sense whatsoever.
That was so weird. There was such a stretch where... Like, at some point, Barbara Streisand was like, because I'm Jewish,
right.
And Adam Driver's character in Black Klansman was Jewish, this does make sense. And you're just like, no, you can't fool me.
Oh, right. It's like as if she knew there was a mismatch. She's
yeah.
Like, all right, come on, Babs.
Right.
Find some connective
She's
tissue
like,
here.
Let's figure it out. Yeah. You've been doing this for a long time. Figure it out.
One last time, Babs.
She pulled it off. Almost enough for you to not notice
that
she was definitely hired to be introducing a different movie.
Yeah.
And then my only other conspiracy theory is Rami Malek is on... I can't... Either he is hiding a horrible secret inside his mouth or he is just on so many drugs that he can't use his mouth correctly.
I mean,
because
yeah.
Because his mouth is very strange.
How do we feel about Rami Malek veneers, yes or no?
I don't know,
because
I've never seen inside his mouth, because he smiles.
We gotta see inside this guy's mouth.
Let me get
so
inside
many
the
photos
mouth
of him with his like chin back.
Let me spend an afternoon in that mouth.
It's like he's trying to eat his own mouth.
Well, he...
Oh, poor Rami.
He smiles
like
somebody who...
Give him a break.
But, he looks well, also went to my high school. Shout out to Notre Dame.
Rami and Sammy.
Yeah.
Rami and Sammy. That's a shame.
Ram Sam.
Also, I didn't see Bohemian Rhapsody, but the clip they showed of him almost seemed like it was like a comical, like right. What my idea of what a really bad version of that was.
Do you remember?
Like his lip syncing was so over the top, and like his mouth, like he was like opening it really wide, and like on every note, even though it's like the part where he's just playing a piano.
Right.
And then he like stops singing and looks astounded at what just came out of his mouth.
It was so, yeah, oh my God. He was like,
whoa.
What? Bohemian Rhapsody is also actually pretty good. You're like, that was how he performed.
Is that Freddie next to me?
That's
you nailed that.
Actually, Bohemian Rhapsody is pretty good. Also, I'm straight. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah, well, stressful. You know, I think people just like, because it's just like a fun, it's basically, you want to watch a long Queen music video?
Uh-huh.
People love movies directed by molesters. It's just, I mean...
Partially directed. 98% directed, I think.
So fucking stupid. But yeah, talk about some bad fake teeth and bad real teeth.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love, you know, scoping out veneers. You know,
oh, that's your...
Night.
Yep.
It's a good night for veneers.
Yeah.
A good night for veneers.
Okay. Right. Well, you know, again, shout out to Rami.
Shout out to
that's
my veneer.
That's all I can
heads.
Say. Even though... I don't know who else could have won it. Either way, I like seeing the
local boy get
it.
It's Hollywood's big night for their veneers to shine.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the president, Donald Trump, and his relationship to...
I thought he was gone after those allegations.
I know. Well, we're in process. In process. We'll see.
Damn.
So he's on his way to Vietnam right now, to Hanoi, while I think Kim Jong-un is taking a train from North Korea to Hanoi. And it's like a three-day journey on
the
his...
The armored train.
On his... real life Snowpiercer train.
Right.
Where, okay, whatever. I guess you just like to do it in style. Oh, that's right. Cause he has to like shit in his special thing.
Right.
That's so probably it's better to take your train cause you have your special shit car. Anyway, that's happening in Hanoi. I think a couple of things to keep in mind is that there haven't been many or any pre-summit talks like there were for the Singapore meeting last year.
Hmm.
And those are kind of like vital to any kind of diplomacy, because that's when people go, the stakeholders meet before and kind of put on the table, like, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I think I might be willing to do. You kind of feel each other out, so you know, like, okay, now we kind of have a, we have an understanding of maybe the points we can actually talk about. But that hasn't happened, because this feels like a really cool photo op for Trump again, just to kind of be like, do you see this? I saved the world.
Right. Well, and I do think he honestly believes he saved the world, and that he has like charmed Kim Jong-un into like loving him.
Yeah. Right? Well, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right, as Donald Trump once said. But yeah, this was on Sunday. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo went to kind of do a little press rah-rah tour. And part of like in talking with him, they played this package of when Donald Trump talked about how great him and KJU get along.
And we go back and forth, and then we fell in love, okay? No, really. He wrote me beautiful letters, and they're great letters. We fell in love.
It's the fucking
Why does the president say that?
Relationships matter, Chris. They affect everything in our lives, whether it's grand strategy and delocalization or simpler things. Relationships absolutely matter. It's important that the two leaders are able to effectively communicate. I've observed this over the past weeks and months. I've watched them exchange messages. I've watched our team understand the messages that the two leaders have provided. And now we're going to get to have a second summit where the two leaders can sit and have a frank, candid discussion, explore options, and I hope achieve what the ultimate end state is, creating a brighter future for North Korea and reducing the threat to the United States from the nuclear weapons that are today in North Korea.
Okay. Oh, wait. Oh, did he just say there are nuclear weapons in North Korea?
I was saying the last summit, dude, Trump fucking, he eliminated a nuclear threat, dude, so it's for, we're safe, dog.
But contradicted
just
the message
directly. Well, you know, it's just wild. Like before, right? Before the Singapore one, they were like, "We're going there to get fucking Kim Jong-un to lay his fucking arms down."
Yeah,
you know what I mean? To give up the nukes, and that's what we're gonna do. That just turned into, "Oh, he loves me," and yeah, he's not gonna do anything bad anymore.
We're hooking up. We're kissing.
Yeah, right. To now the end game, as Pompeo says, is like a bright future for everyone. That's so nonspecific that it terrifies me of what could happen at this thing. Yeah.
But like, he did get specific when he said relationships are important.
Right. Right. They're important to anything. They're important
to day-to-day. I don't think any of us can disagree with that.
No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, it sounds like a Secretary of State who has not done his homework, who doesn't even know what his homework is, and has to go and give a talk and doesn't know what the fuck the topic is.
Pompeo should take math with us.
Would be such a fun group outing. Yeah, it's always tough to tell whether these are capable people just dumbing themselves down to the level of the president.
Right.
Because it's a tough position that they find themselves
in. Well, and again, like the goalposts are constantly shifting because of, like super producer Nick Stumpf was saying that a lot of this for Trump is to just try and get a Nobel Peace Prize. And
that
he was claiming
so
like
amazing.
Shinzo Abe from Japan, he nominated me. And then Abe's like, I don't know what the fuck. He said no comment, which is Japanese for I don't want to say it. I don't want to disappoint someone. and then he gets to be Barack Obama, and then he'll just throw his Nobel Prize into like a fire. He's like, see, I didn't even need it. I bet Obama wears his under his shirt all the time because he's so insecure. But I don't know. He's angling for that. But we don't even know what's the exact piece he's going to be bringing, because if he still has his weapons and his testing and doing all this other shit, what have you actually done? What have you functionally changed?
He's just as unpopular in the international community, right? As he is in the United States. I would say more so,
no, I
right?
Think he's
like
beloved.
Well,
overseas.
Isn't he? He's
they
playing
love him
to
in France.
His his base doesn't really exist in
like
other
David
countries,
Hasselhoff.
Right?
Well,
so, like,
I mean, I think people who are like into that far right wave,
the far white rave,
the far right rave. used to be called Nocturnal Wonderland. But yeah, I think those people, in those other countries, they point to Trump of being like, you see where America, see, these ideas are taking hold.
It's the logical conclusion.
For xenophobes around the world, yes, maybe so. But I think most people, most regular civilized society is like, absolutely not.
He's a xenophobic icon.
I'm just trying to figure out how delusional this idea that he is going to win the Nobel is. Like, is it a thing that I just think is crazy because I'm not familiar with or like conversant with a lot of people in foreign communities? Like, are conservatives in other countries bigger fans of him than I would suspect?
I don't know.
Yeah, so maybe. This is just people blowing smoke up his ass.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure that conversation was like, Abe, you're gonna nominate me for the Nobel Prize, right, my man? You got to vote for me? You got to vote for Donnie? And he's like, I would vote for you. Yes, probably. And he's like, you heard that? Abby said it. I'm getting the prize. All y'all.
It's like someone lobbying for like a superlative in high school. They're like, yeah, you're voting for me for Beauty and Brains, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, dude, just side note. In high school, there was a wild controversy because one of the people who was editing the yearbook fucking goosed the numbers to put herself to get most beautiful eyes. I'm sorry. I'm not going to say your name, but you know who you are. And your fucking eyes.
Whoa.
She had brown eyes, and she beat out this one.
Okay, don't hit him.
This one.
No.
Well, it was different because it left out a couple people who had eyes that looked like a homegirl that on that National Geographic cover. Remember?
kind
of eyes,
like where, piercing.
Yeah, like where, and everyone was like, "What the fuck happened?" Investigation. It was her. She was shamed in my high school.
Wow.
Anyway,
did you get an investigation?
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you
best
get?
Best dancer and class fucking clown. You know what it is.
Wow.
Just one last quote. Trump is actually very, as I come back to this pressing North Korean denuclearization talks.
Yeah.
He is very optimistic about this. He even said about Kim Jong-un, he said, and we see eye to eye, I believe, but you'll be seeing it more and more over the next couple of days, one way or the other. What's going to happen? I can't tell you. I don't want to rush anybody. I just don't want testing. As long as there's no testing, we're happy. So we've gone from come up off all your arms,
right.
Give us all of your nuclear weapons, your nuclear capability of everything, denuclearize, to now just don't like do like dry fires, you know, don't just do little test runs anymore, okay? Is that not good enough?
Yeah.
And that's how far we've come down to the posture we had in last May versus now.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah.
It's easy to lose track of how much of the corruption and, you know, fuckery that we see on a day-to-day basis reported about this administration comes back to being enormous national security risks for Americans and America in general.
And like how as time goes on, it's like stuff like this happens all the time and people are getting so exhausted with everything happening constantly and never being good that I feel like even the difference between last year and this year, people are just like way more like, yeah, of course this is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably we're all whatever.
Right.
We're all going to die, probably.
I mean, Trump is going to have to, you know, after last year's summit, right? He fucking spiked the fucking football like seconds after. And he's like, the threat is gone.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to live forever. North Korea, USA forever together. And then, so I'm just trying to figure out how he's going to up that after this. He can't just be like, okay, nothing. It was a bust. Right. Or is he going to be like, we kissed this time. See, I told you we're in love. Now we're kissing.
Right.
And we'll see what happens. Maybe he'll text me back. I'm not going to press him. I don't want to rush anybody.
But to your point, Jamie, we've talked before on the show, but it bears repeating that during the rise of Nazi Germany, like there were a bunch of articles written like 10 years before Hitler started invading people where people weren't used to fascism yet. But by the time they actually started taking over, everyone was so exhausted with like that whole idea that they're just like, yeah, whatever, man.
Yeah,
you're like, nobody wrote any stories about it.
Seems irrational on paper, and yet when it's happening in real time, you're like, oh, okay, everyone's just exhausted, and that's
I'm so over it.
Something horrible's gonna
happen. I'm so over fascism, guys.
Ugh,
right,
tired.
And guess what? World
social
changed.
Democracy wired.
All right, we're gonna take one more quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and the president's son is out here. Miles, you put it as drowning in his own brain.
I just don't know what is going on in his brain. You know, is it the pressure of being a man that feels like an indictment is imminent, you know, or that at a bare minimum you're going to be implicated in serious crimes, or is it just his, like, genetic predisposition to going on TV and just shooting off at the mouth? But anyway, he's on Fox and Friends, and I think he just had the weirdest takes that I wasn't even sure what the purpose of his appearance was, because there was no news to me aside from him just saying like, oh man, Instagram and Twitter's fucking me. So listen to this take on how social media is just fucking him, dude.
Damn.
the internet censorship. Like I said, when I have people calling me and just DMing me, inundating me, I've had to follow your account three times, or Instagram won't even let me like your account. I've been locked out trying to like your tweets. Then Instagram says, well, it's because it's spam-like behavior. Wait a minute. Someone trying to like a tweet of mine and being locked out, that's not spam-like behavior. It doesn't make any sense.
Social media and the success you had and the strategy you put together had a lot to do with the success you had. Mm-hmm. And then maybe there's a push out there, is what you're inferring, that to stop it.
By the way, it's not just me. I got inundated with Second Amendment accounts. The same thing's happening to me, Don. I haven't grown. I had 1 week this summer, I called it out. I had something like 10 million organic impressions and zero new followers looking at it. It's statistically impossible. So it feels like it's a dry run where they're trying to suppress any kind of right-wing message, any kind of conservative message for 2020. I mean, they're setting it up. They're just seeing how far they can get away.
If you're doing it already, they're coming.
Well, that's the point. If they can do it to me, think of what they can do to a regular guy that has 400 friends and their followers, and they just want to pass something along. Because guess what? That guy doesn't have a big soapbox like I do. They don't have the ability to, when they call it out, to get invited to come onto national TV and speak about it. I do, and I'm going to keep fighting this because it's not right.
So you got to come on more, Don.
I'll do it, man.
You're right down the block.
I'll do it, guys. Okay. We got to put an end to this nonsense.
Anyway.
Listen, we got to get his metrics up.
He was just saying, he's like, what happened to my followers? I'm not getting likes. He's just making this big stink about it. And also, like, when you talk about your followers, let's be real. These are like 900-year-old people who, like, are trying to use Twitter on their jitterbug phone. And they're like, I can't. Twitter won't even come up here. Yeah. What if I'd hit the red button? Come on. And a lot of the behaviors he's talking about, like, when you look at the guidelines, right, of even, like, how people, you know, what spam behavior is, that's, like, posting shit like phishing or malware sites, like, abusing people's mention functions, just all kinds of just shit that if you are some kind of troll or even an elderly person who gets, like in this, you're in this Twitter sphere where you're more vulnerable to getting, like, things that are like, oh, this, you like, check your Microsoft update for this thing, and you're tweeting stuff like that, people are gonna be like, why are you tweeting that bot shit?
Right.
Yeah. And I think even then, he doesn't have much to stand on in terms of, like, evidence of this, like, deep state liberal conspiracy.
There's because nothing.
I think they're the people that are, like, complaining have conflated being old as shit and not knowing how social media works with OMG deep state suppression campaign against conservatives.
Right.
And even then, too, like, the censorship thing, my man, this isn't the government. Okay. It's a private company. And they can do whatever the fuck they want because this is, you know, free market capitalism, bruh.
Right.
So take, you know, and now you want the government to step in for you? I don't know.
He's been historically unable to distinguish the government from a company. So in his defense.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I want to go on the news and talk about how I don't have enough followers. That's fucking privilege.
And they're telling me, like, oh, like they're locked out of their accounts.
Cause zero, new followers today.
What the fuck is that?
Right. I'm going to start doing that every time I come on. Good news. Zero new followers today. It's a conspiracy. Because I'm creating content constantly.
Right. It's sad. Like, his dad lies about being a billionaire. He lies about, like, being just, like, a social media fucking
I'm an influencer.
I'm an influencer.
I don't know why I'm not getting more followers.
Wait, 120,000 organic impressions with zero followers? Something ain't right, man.
Right.
Like, he actually pointed to some weird content stat to... Anyway.
And so, if they are suppressing, like, how many people he can reach, is that... Like, that seems to be not... inherently wrong to me because a lot of his beliefs are like white supremacist hate speech.
Well, he does the diet versions, so it'll never be like full-throated just racism. It's always this dog whistling so loud that your screen will crack.
Didn't he do like a Skittles thing with Trayvon Martin? Like,
yeah,
like it's Skittles meme.
Jesus Christ.
So again, look, the get your content right, but again, no one really cares about you, Donald Jr. So then he went on to talk about what's going on with, like, the indictments that are happening with Robert Mueller, and really tries to fucking downplay that shit, where he was just sort of like, you know, it's just a regular guy, you know, a lot of these, they're just really leaning on these people who have been indicted just to flip, you know, and they put them under this tremendous pressure, and then they threaten them, you know, like, these legal fees, you're gonna be buried in legal fees. It's just all for what? You know, a lot of these indictments, they're from stuff in a past life. He calls this shit like lying to the FBI about your contacts with Russians about, quote, shit from a past life. But, you know, he's got to spin this shit some way that he knows how. But he really does have this, like, when you listen to him, he has that, like, great bullshitter energy.
Yeah.
Where he's like selling you this like nothing product.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, you know, like, these people are complaining to me. It's unbelievable. This is just like stuff from a past lifetime. So I don't know what these indictments are really about.
Well, it's interesting that he talks about a past lifetime because he, you know, grew up always hating his dad, hated what he stood for. And right. now his whole life revolves around just being like, DJT, man, guy fucking rules.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure like internally he's like a man divided, like I'm sure he's fucked completely mentally. And it's also just fun to see conservatives outraged about these police tactics that have been used to lean on minority communities and just, you know, oppress people for years. And then when the second it's used against them, they're like, whoa,
this is a bitch. What the fuck?
How?
But
that's
not
fair.
But I'm the dominant culture.
Right.
It is. I revisited this. Did you ever see the documentary Born Rich?
Yes.
It's, oh, yeah, yeah.
And you revisit like how the teen Trumps felt about it. And they were all so, I mean, they were saying it in a major documentary. They're like, yeah, this is like fucked up and crazy. And like this, my dad's all over the place. And it's like now they're just spending their entire adult lives, you know, defending fascism.
Right.
Oh, Born Rich, baby. Check it out.
Well, speaking of the world of behind the scenes of social media and, you know, the problems that Donald Trump Jr. is having getting his message out mm-hmm. thereon, we wanted to take a look at what the process for moderating Facebook looks like. Because, so this is something I always knew must exist.
Right.
Jamie, you've come into contact with some of the...
This is an area of my expertise.
Right. Some of the social media moderation forces on Twitter.
Sure.
So apparently it is a nightmare on the level of like giving people PTSD who...
Like quite literally.
Like literally a former moderator is suing Facebook for giving her PTSD.
Oh my God.
Just from the content she was having to look at like as being a moderator?
Yes.
Something?
So they described somebody went inside one of these... Now they contract the work out because, you know, the average employee at Facebook... Like literally the median employee at Facebook is paid $245,000 a year. And so they can't have their full-time employees, you know, doing this sort of shit work. So they contracted out to, it used to be just countries where they could pay people, you know, even less than they can pay them in America. But now they've started doing it to Americans. And some journalistic outlets were able to get some people inside like what one of these like moderation farms.
Oh, so they got the information by infiltrating the...
By interviewing people who had signed NDAs and they got just... It's crazy. Like one of the videos depicted like during training... they had a woman come up in front of the group and watch a video of a person being murdered, like someone stabbing him dozens of times, like an actual murder. And he screams and begs for his life. And then they're like, okay, now tell the room, is that post appropriate for Facebook or not?
What?
And apparently that is the sort of shit. Like they are just seeing horrible, horrible, just the dregs of any... media that exists is like stuff that they're having to say no to, which it seems like that would be easy enough to like automatically just be like, okay, I've seen enough. Like,
and Facebook is so disingenuous about what they're willing to moderate and what they're not.
Right.
Anyways, where like there's certain stuff where they're like, well, if we have a vested financial interest in leaving this fucked up thing here, usually they'll just leave it. And that's why there's wars going on.
Right. They're paying these people $4 more than minimum wage, and
just to look at the most awful shit and misinformation on the internet, basically.
Yeah.
The idea, though, in this article, that there were people who were getting so exposed to conspiracy theories that they began themselves to believe them.
Right.
Is really fraught. Is fucking terrifying.
Yes. Yeah.
That there are people who like. You're looking at shit like flat eartherism, 9/11 trutherism, and then they're saying that like one auditor walks the floor promoting the idea that the earth is flat. A former employee told me that he has begun to question certain aspects of the Holocaust.
Yes.
Certain aspects?
Right.
That's like red pilling 101 though, right? Like if you expose yourself to enough bullshit, even if you know it's bullshit, if it's like you slowly That happens.
Just wears you down.
It wears you down, and then you just start to question reality. And oh, these poor people.
Yeah. I mean, it's if you've ever like worked for a technology company or something, you've probably had that thought of like eventually somebody has to be moderating this stuff for it to be like legally or just like morally okay, or otherwise there's just going to be people with horrible ends finding ways to just cram horrible things down our throat. And
all because you're trying to like make a living wage, and the only way it's possible is to watch the most horrifying shit. Like that is that is dystopian as hell.
Yeah,
it's and fucking nuts.
So I mean, there are companies like Reddit has a policy where they, you know, train people ahead of their moderation work to, you know, prepare them and like be kind of disconnect themselves from the content that they're watching. But Facebook treats these people like shit. Unable to leave the property during breaks, being banned from freely using their phones even in emergencies, and restrictions being placed on when they can take, quote, wellness breaks, in addition to being unable to speak to family members about their work.
Excuse you?
Which is the exact, like, that causes PTSD. That's one of the worst exacerbators of PTSD is when you can't speak to anybody about it.
Right.
It just gets worse and worse inside your own head.
Or even get a breather for a second.
Yeah.
What are you trying to do? You're trying to fucking decompress after you saw that animal abuse montage?
Right. Yeah.
They should have, like, a puppy room there where these people doing the most... the worst job on the internet.
Right.
Yeah.
Can just like get a fucking...
They found other ways to cope.
Oh, yeah. So good. there is I guess what you could call a puppy room. Yeah. So there's...
Oh, no.
No, they...
What?
Apparently they found also when they kind of looked at this office that the employees were coping with like rampant drug use on the job and also like having sex with each other in the bathrooms and in the... breastfeeding room, like just it was a complete mess of it's like Vietnam basically. It's just horrible behavior because people are under the most horrifying circumstances.
Fucking in the bathroom, the stairwells. The idea that in this thing they say they had to remove the locks from the breastfeeding room for mothers because it was just turned into a fuck room.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm stressed out just hearing this.
I know. When it's just like, oh, of course Facebook is like a Black Mirror episode.
And as always, the solution to this is just treat your fucking employees like human beings. Like, this is a shitty job, and it does, I sort of feel like it does need to be done by people and not algorithms, because Facebook will always fuck that up.
Right.
But it's like, if they're doing that, just treat them like fucking people.
Yeah, and compensate them like they're having to look at very intense shit.
The worst
that could
thing.
Really yeah. fuck your footing up.
Because you have to be a particular kind of person to have to be able to handle that. And it's like, if you can't talk to your family about it, provide them with people to talk to about
it. Absolutely.
That aren't just each other, that are just like, yeah, that was fucked up. Like, give them some fucking tools.
Yeah. They're paying them insufficiently and not providing the therapy that the people need so that a small elite
profit.
In Silicon Valley can become insanely rich. That's essentially how it works.
Facebook makes me fucking sick. It makes me so angry.
Yeah. It really, if you're on Facebook still, just know that you being on there, right, that you're creating the world in which people like this have to begin moderating. Not that you're, complicit or whatever, but like, my God, to think that.
It's tough. I mean, I'm still regretfully on Facebook because for a lot, I mean, it's like it's a family thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
It's also it is interesting to observe how fucked up things get, like in unmoderated groups and shit like that. It's just insane.
Yeah.
What a hellacious website.
Oh, but it's all a part of the common theme is let's pay people what they're worth and take care of them.
Yeah. These people should be treated like fucking gods. You have to watch shit like that, you should be treated like princes and princesses.
Yeah, there are cultures that have sin eaters that are like the people
who
absorb the horrible shit that we do or don't have to put up with.
God, that is so depressing.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about something happy like Mufasa's death scene from Lion King.
Yeah. I was obsessed with this.
I got very emotional. But the Lion King.
Yeah, we came in today talking about the Oscars, and all Miles wanted to talk about was the Serena Williams Nike commercial. Yeah.
Sobbing.
Yeah. Mufasa, or the Lion King trailer. Trailer.
Sobbing. Yeah. Not sobbing, but I like to do this thing with Her Majesty where we'll both be watching something, and I might just have like some tears streaming down my face, but I don't make any like sort of verbal cues. And then I look at her with my tear streaming face, and I go, that was okay. It's a really fun time. You guys should try it. You should get really in touch with your emotions, because when them tears fly, it feels real good. Anyway, so the Lion King thing, there's this like tweet thread that went viral on Twitter. It was this guy showing his dog watching the animated Lion King, but the Mufasa death scene. And this dog is, I don't know if the dog is just responding to that there are like animal-like figures on the screen, but it's a very intense scene. And the dog's like, you can tell it's sort of like anxious. Like it's sitting up, sitting down, whining, and just watching as little Simba tries to nuzzle under his dead dad's arm and shit like that, or leg, or whatever animals have. So then another person tweeted a similar video too of a dog watching Lion King, and during that scene, the attention being paid was insane. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's, again, my cynical part is like, man, it's just because it looks like some animal shit on TV.
Right.
Because I have friends who like put the Animal Planet on for their pets when they go to work and shit. Mm-hmm. And they're like, their animals just love that shit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like to think these dogs are very intelligent and they know what's happening. This young man has lost his father.
Right. All my dog does is watch Joe Rogan interview videos. He's fucked up, man.
Yeah, right.
I leave the room for 2 seconds. I come back, Joe Rogan's
He's
on.
Asking about Jordan Peterson, which you know about him.
Oh, God.
But have you read his book?
Have you read it, though? Don't just pay attention to the fucking takes you see on Twitter. Have you read Jordan Peterson?
I'm so sorry you have to know him. Like, he's so...
Your dog is a bad influence on Miles, let's just say.
We're getting
drinks later.
He's an alcoholic. You have to be careful.
That's also.
You have to be careful.
He said something about jet fuel not being able to burn at a specific heat or something. Right. Melt steel.
He's got a lot of paper. He's got a fucking essay he's been submitting around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It said, oh, all dogs go to heaven? What about building 7?
What the fuck?
Oh, it's a dog 9/11 truther bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I don't know. What do y'all think of Mufasa's death scene?
I think animals just reacting
to animals, or they feel it.
The first video I thought was real raw dog emotion. That seemed
real raw dog emotion.
Raw dog emotion.
Real raw dog emotion.
Raw dog emotion is the name of a podcast.
That's just
raw dog emotion.
Raw dog emotions. It's Joe Rogan's podcast about feelings.
Yeah, I don't know. I only have limited experience with the three dogs I've had, and none of them gave a shit about anything that was on TV.
Yeah.
They were just worried about what was happening in the room.
Yeah, my dog has never watched TV.
Yeah.
Even when there's like legit dogs, like pit bulls and parolees, some show like that where you hear like just a cacophony of like whining dogs.
Yeah.
My pets are like, nothing I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
My dog watches Shallow Hal.
Oh.
He thinks it's great. It's like that guy should win an Oscar.
Yeah, exactly. He was so thrilled. He's like, oh, thank God. Justice for Shallow Hal.
When are you doing an episode on this, Jamie? You and Caitlin are going to tackle this one.
He hates the Bechdel cast.
Yeah. I can only imagine what his takes are on that.
Men's rights? He's bad.
Anyways, Jamie, it's been a pleasure having you. Thank you so much, by the way, for filling in for me. You did an amazing job in the two episodes that I listened to. Where can people...
Jesus Christ,
wow, the
Jack.
Shade.
I was trying... No.
See, it was because that opening. I knew he was going to be salty about that opening.
Yeah.
Look what happened.
There.
Just now when we made it that you were the guest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I was.
Anyway,
I was
Jack,
threatened.
It was great for you to join
thank
us.
Thank you for coming on.
Oh,
that
thank
was
you.
Really fun.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
It was clenching.
From what I understand, Crackle was a great website.
I love Crackle.
Oh, yeah. Comedians and Cars Getting Coffee Cracked.
Well, they do Seinfeld reruns on there. Right? Great stuff, man. Great stuff.
Great stuff. All right. So, are we going to have a outro? off where like we face off as to who's giving the outro to who.
Yeah, we all just speak over each other.
Yeah.
Three, two, one.
No, so why don't you tell me where they can find you, Jimmy?
Where can they find you online, Jack?
Just back and forth. This war of attrition.
I'm more curious about where they can find you, Jamie.
Interesting. I'll just say your socials for you. Use your first time on the show. You don't seem to know how the show works. That's fine.
Pivot on that.
You can find him at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. Is that correct, Jack?
That's correct, Jamie.
Okay, so that's where they can find you.
Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
There's one. No, why
actually,
did you ask me that?
Jake, I was just about to ask you that. Is there a tweet you like?
Yeah, Jake, what are you feeling?
You guys are like, it's like you deep. Did psychological
Joey.
Research on things. on the shit that people say that makes
He's
me feel
spiraling.
Very small. Well.
Tweet you've been liking, Jake?
Okay.
Go for it, Jake.
Marsha Belsky tweeted, give me 5 minutes alone with Joe Rogan. I think I could convince him he's been dead for 20 years.
Oh, that's fun.
That was great stuff, man. What about
that's
you, Jamie? Where
fun.
Can people find you and follow
you? You can find me, I mean, here every day. Mm-hmm. Is where you can find me. You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help. You can find me on Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. You can find me trying to get my dog away from Shallow Hal.
Oh, yeah.
Here, a tweet I was liking was from our very own Andrew T., who said thank you to all the whites in Hollywood for fixing racism.
Yeah.
I would also like to direct everyone to Demi Adjigbe's. He throws an Oscars party mm-hmm. every year with themed food, themed T-shirts. There's always a banner of who he feels got robbed for Best Picture. This year, the banner says 8th grade got robbed for Best Picture. Just check out all his shit at Electro Lemon if you don't already, because it always makes me smile every year.
It's always
year.
Fire.
Great.
You can follow me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. A tweet I like is from, let's see, one is from Kate Berlant at Kate Berlant. It says, just typed love into a porn search. Absolutely devastating.
Oh, God.
And one from Molly Lambert at Molly Lambert just says, just realized Diane Keaton dresses like a pimp. She really does.
She does.
That hat game,
yeah.
And like the suit.
She does.
Does she have a cane yet? She needs like a nameplate ring, like a 4-finger ring, and she has fully completed her, or some Now and Later Gators on. Let's see. Well, you can find us at Daily Zeitgeist. You can find, what is that? Jack, you do this part. I'm not good at it.
Gonzalo R. Cordova also tweeted, Bohemian Rhapsody won best editing for editing out all the gay sex scenes. Which is true. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
Let's go out on a track by Nick Hakim, Green Twins. A little great track.
In honor of Green Book.
In honor of Green Book.
Congrats to Green Book.
Congrats to Green Book, y'all.
Oh, man.
it's
let me
not
do
even funny.
No. So another tweet I liked was from David Roth. I have a lot of Oscar tweets,
Joe,
that I was liking yesterday.
Yeah.
Joe, it's your first time. Go ahead, Joe. David J. Roth tweeted, seems like a lot of people are mad about Green Book winning Best Picture, but think about it this way. Scorsese won for The Departed because he didn't win for Goodfellas or Age of Innocence. This is like that, but for Peter Farrelly and Stuck on You. all right, we're going to ride out on that. We'll be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Is that what I said?
Yeah, that's what you
said.
All right, cool. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.
He
lasted the longest.
I last longer.